Here we are at the second international session for the Russell Tribunal on Palestine in London. It attempts to examine corporate involvement in the violations of international law in Israel. Let's have a look at what they'll be talking about. The intention of the tribunal was to formulate a legal framework for tackling international corporate complicity in Israel's violations of international human rights law and for war crimes committed by such organizations. But what does that entail? We spoke to some of the experts and jury from the tribunal about what this corporate complicity entails.
We're looking at corporate complicity as part of a bigger picture. In other words, there have been violations of human rights law as well as humanitarian law by the Israeli authorities since 1967. They're very well established and very well recorded. The problem is that nothing ever happens to redress those violations. Now we're looking at the responsibility of corporations, because of course Israel has to have resources, has to have money, has to have bricks and mortar to build the wall. The question is, who's providing them? Now, the people, the companies, the corporations that are providing these resources are equally complicit, as is Israel itself.
Well, I think it's important to look at the totality of the circumstances that lend itself to the oppression, the ethnic cleansing, and the literal slow genocide of the Palestinians. And of course, corporations, transnational corporations, do play a role in the continued viability of the state of Israel and its ability to oppress the Palestinians. So we have to look at corporate behavior.
In the West, on the ground, tackling corporate involvement in the occupation of Palestine mostly consists of calls for economic sanctions, divestment campaigns, and academic boycotts. These methods have been adopted as a tool for the dissemination of Israel's violations of international human rights. But then, how does this relate to the Palestinians on the ground?
The most important thing is to halt relations and trade with companies that deal with settlement products by taking control of their trade. Also, it gives an opportunity for the Palestinian economy to develop and allow for economic growth and provide Palestinian workers with employment away from the illegal settlements in order to push them out of the West Bank.
Although the results of this tribunal are not conclusive, it does provide a genuine opportunity for many organizations and individuals to put up a solid case against human rights law violations by Israel against the Palestinian people.
I'm joined now by John Hillary, the director of War on Want. That's an agency which works on the ground in Palestine, providing relief where needed, but also an agency that researches ethical questions on a business and political level. John, welcome. I hope I gave a good description of your work there, because War on Want does sound like, first of all, a charity agency, but that's not all you do.
No, that's right. We work very closely with groups within Palestine who themselves are resisting the illegal occupation of the West Bank and also groups in Gaza, particularly partners like the Stop the Wall, which brings together all of the popular committees in villages across the West Bank who've seen their land taken up by the war as it's illegally encroached on village land which they've owned for centuries. So that's part of our work as well.
Isn't there a danger of that compromising your charitable status, though? I would have thought activism and charity isn't necessarily something that normally fits together in a legal remit.
Not at all. The Charity Commission here in the UK is quite clear that charities are encouraged, in fact, not just allowed, but encouraged to take political activity on board when it's going to lead to solutions which will be in favour of their charitable objectives. So it works really well for us. The Charity Commission has said that they're perfectly happy with our work on Palestine.
Now, you've been very interested in the complicity, the technical complicity of businesses with the occupation of Palestine. How do you make people divest? Is that your job?
Yeah, I think it is our job. I mean, the call has come from Palestinian civil society for the boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign. And when we, for example, at War on Want, saw that the Church of England had got £2.2 million invested in Caterpillar, and Caterpillar's bulldozers had been used by the Israeli military to demolish Palestinian homes, we said to the Church of England, you know, it's immoral for you to have that type of money invested within a company like that. The General Synod, which is the democratic body which dictates the Church of England's policy, they agreed with that, and they put forward a resolution saying that the Church of England should divest. And just last year, they did divest. They pulled the money out.
So that you would count as a big success for a campaign like War on Want. What other major campaigns are you running at the moment?
Well, at the moment we're looking at also BT, which is known in Britain, of course, as the major telecommunications company.
A lot of different companies around the world, of course, invest perfectly legally in Israel. But what do you call on civic society to do on behalf of Palestinian society?
It's really to target those companies which are complicit in the illegal parts. So, for example, in the illegal settlements, which under international humanitarian law have been dictated again and again and again as being fully illegal, what we would say is we need to put pressure on those companies to reconsider their investments and their alliances. For example, BT with Bezeq International, which provides the telecommunications infrastructure to the illegal settlements. Well, if BT has got a human rights policy of its own saying it won't be involved in that type of work, we need to help it to investigate its own complicity in those acts.
Does the War on Want seek to make a comparison between the apartheid of the 70s in South Africa and Israel now? And if so, how can you do that in a legal framework? Because clearly Israel is part of the international community. You're bound to fail, aren't you?
No, I think that there are certain elements which are quite clearly represent an apartheid system in the same way as South Africa in the 1970s and 80s. And War on Want was very much at the forefront of the anti-apartheid struggle in South Africa, and we're very proud to be part of the same struggle in relation to Palestine. There are certain features of Israel's occupation which correspond exactly to the definition of apartheid as handed down in international legal
documents. And yet, if this is true, then the international community doesn't accept those arguments, because no such action as the encouragement to divest from South Africa by the European Union is being taken against Israel. So again, what sort of help is there for you to carry on the work? What sort of mission can you be on?
I think the key thing there is to look to popular anger, popular movements to take up this challenge, because exactly as you say, the political leaders of the European Union and the US are turning a blind eye to Israel's crimes here. And all the illegality which has been found in court situations is not being followed up by the political pressure which could turn that into action on the ground. So it's up to people, it's up to ordinary people around the world to start taking action to build that movement in exactly the same way as happened on South Africa. Remember, it was people who led the way on South Africa, and it's got to be people who lead the way on Palestine.
And you personally, what is it about the mission statement of War on Want that has drawn you to stay for several years as a director?
No, absolutely. I mean, I feel it's a great privilege to be involved in that type of movement and to be able to see on the ground the sort of work which Palestinian committees and Palestinian civil society is doing. That's really our inspiration at War on Want, what the Palestinians themselves are doing to try to regain the freedom, the human rights and the justice that they need. I think it's our duty in the international community to follow their example.
John Hillary of War on Want, thank you very much for coming on. Now, don't forget that you can text us your comments about issues raised on this programme, and here's how.